Dr. Chetnar, the next question here is about listening. You know, this is a very, very important skill in one sense, but it's a quality that we all need. And you talked about that, and it sounds like a simple thing to say, well, I'm listening to you. But in reality, there's a lot of inner chatter that's going on that we're kind of just stuck many times in our own inner chatter called self-talk, right? So what is the relationship between self-talk or the inner chatter and the act of truly listening to another person and meditation? You know, the techniques that are being taught in the 4-week class and then subsequent classes later on, because we don't live in isolation. We live with families, we live with pets, we live with other people. You know, we interact with the whole world outside in a lot of different ways. So the act of listening and its relationship to inner chatter in the context of meditation, and of course relationships, you know, how does this link together? If you could shed some more light on that, because you mentioned that in a previous recording that we just made.
So. Yeah, absolutely. So self-talk is very, very important. When I, it's actually leads to three different topics, yeah. But we'll talk
we'll get
about
into all
it.
Of them.
Okay, yes. So self-talk is absolutely, absolutely important. And it's so important to remember what you say to yourself, because when you're saying to yourself, it's literally talking to your subconscious, mm-hmm. and almost like talking to the universe even. So mm-hmm. what you say to yourself is absolutely important. And what it means by that is you have to refine it. When you say, I am, I'm always doing wrong, or you kind of berate yourself. I am always not doing the right thing, and beat yourself on it. That is wrong, and that is not a good way to talk to yourself, because you wouldn't do that to somebody else if, you know, they were to say anything or do something wrong. So we have to always remember what we're telling ourselves. So it's almost like you're talking to your subconscious about negative stuff, even though it seems like it's natural. Mm-hmm. It's like the usual things we all say.
Yeah.
You have to refine it. Let's say you want to achieve something, and you know it's hard. You're not going to say it is difficult, because the moment you say it's difficult, you're already opening up the or telling your subconscious, your body, everything, saying that this is going to be hard, so it's not going to be a simple thing. Mm-hmm. So you have to, even though you don't feel it, you start saying it's simple. So we'll kind of hold off on that for a bit.
Sure.
So the importance of meditation and self-chatter is when you meditate and you do that over time and then throughout the day and take, you know, breaks, especially when the thought pattern goes away, you really find that because of this increased stability as you go along will help you listen also to people a little bit better. For example, especially, I mean, I'm talking in more in terms of planned listening. For example, you know, there is some problem with a, you know, subordinate or a staff working under you, or even a boss, basically. So let's say you take 2 minutes and you've been meditating and you did your stuff, meaning your routine the morning, and you meditated for 2 minutes before you enter the room. Your self-chatter takes a back seat, and you're coming in to the room fresh with an open mind, with no preconceived ideas or anything like that. You are completely listening to them with completely open mind to really figure out where that person is coming from. What is he actually trying to tell you? Because when you come from that place, from inside you, is the only way you can actually take a good decision and make a good, resolution if it's a conflict, obviously. But even making decisions, it's always good in the larger, it's a decision is the best decision in the larger good when you come from that place. And that's where the meditation is effective.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that is so important, that's why. And it's actually, they've done a lot of research on this.
Yeah.
And whether you call it, you know, different techniques, which have been used before a performance, for example, in so many fields, let's say sports, before going into the field, before performing a creative performance, like playing an instrument, going into a band, music, singing, going into a meeting, or public speaking, everything. When you do this before you go, you just have performed, you know, way better than if you just are completely, you know, scattered and you go in.
Right. So that's very, very true. And I think we have seen that, you know, for people who have really excelled in their life and just everyday people who are doing this. I guess just a follow-up on this, and again, these are very profound questions, but we want to keep things relatively straightforward and understandable and simple and applicable. The more practical question here is the relationship between the self-chatter, the inner self-talk, you know, the internal soliloquy that we're internally going, that is just kind of going on, the relationship between that and its impact on the body. So this is more like a mind-body question, and because the body is not immune to the disturbances of the mind, so the question is really about the relationship between the inner chatter, the physical body, and then the meditation techniques, however you want to.
Yeah, absolutely. So there is a lot of science. It's actually by neuroscience. You know, this is where they have done research on this. So the whole idea is when you have, let's start from the beginning, how the circuit builds. A thought comes through your, you know, your brain, and any thought which comes through your brain, it gives you an emotional feeling. So that emotional feeling is seen by the body, which is your heart, which is your lungs, which is your digestive system, all your hormones in the body, which react a certain way to create a state of homeostasis, to say, or equilibrium, as you can call it, so that it adjusts to the thought. Now, if it's a positive thought, then the body is going to regulate in a good way. It will keep your respirations or your breathing calm, your heart speeding at a good rate, and then your digestive system is calm. It's actually secreting all the hormones to digest your food properly. The reproductive hormones take, you know, do their job. So it's very integrated the way it's supposed to be.
Yes.
What happens with a negative thought is the emotion now becomes one of distress. So now what happens with the distress is the lungs or the breathing becomes shallow. Now, when the breathing becomes shallow, then the heart rate goes up. It's palpitations. Now, in the palpitations, it's a signal to the rest of the body to shut down. So the digestive system doesn't work because it's not supposed to, because this is almost like a fight or flight response where there's a danger. You know, this was completely like in the olden days, I'm talking of extreme fight or flight, where either human beings were facing a predator they had to run away from or, you know, or deal with it and kill it with whatever instrument they had. So at that point, the body is conditioned in a way that it is supposed to shut down everything because all the energy is supposed to be directed towards these two things and the muscular area where you can fight or you can run away.
Right.
So that's why you've heard, even in extreme circumstances, how mothers, because of their extreme intention of saving their child, have actually lifted like even like a whole vehicle to get their child out of danger.
Which is an indication of how much energy we actually have or how much we can access.
Right. So that's when you know that, and it's meant for, but the other things take a backseat, which is supposed to be. I mean, just to make so to make it kind of funny, it's like you don't want to be having to go to the bathroom to poop if you just are in a crisis.
Right.
And that's why the body does that. But what happens in nowadays over a period of time is there is something called chronic stress because of our inability to cope and not knowing how to deal with this. Is there is always something going on in life and not knowing how to deal with it or respond. We are going through these stresses, which now what the body is facing is a kind of an onslaught of these negative thoughts, and the body is constantly trying to keep itself in a survival mode.
Yes.
So you're almost like in a frozen state.
Right.
In that trauma, even though you're not there, because of your mind always thinking of things in the past or the future, worries, all these things. So your body is completely in a state where it's permanently in a stressful state. So that is the baseline that's been created, which is a state of anxiety, or you call it as depression, whatever you call it as. So that has started affecting physically. Now your digestive system don't work properly because your hormones are not working properly.
Yeah.
I have seen young people in 20s coming with reproductive issues, which was unheard of before, and that's nothing to do with actual hormones being a problem, which does become a problem because of this mind-body connection. Yeah, so that is what is happening nowadays with, that kind of a thought, mind-body response. Sure. So, but having said that, what can we do about it? Yeah. That's where you're going to use the meditation as one of the techniques. Right. Of course, there's so many other techniques we want to talk about, like I was talking about the absolute personal responsibility, how do you set up yourself in your uplifting your frequency, your vibration, but taking charge of your thoughts on a regular basis. And that would help change this baseline, which we've created, into a new baseline, which is more favorable for your body to function properly. And that's the real prevention for chronic illnesses.
Right, because the chronic stress response that you're talking about, it's like it's really being sustained because of this inner chatter. This inner chatter, this life circumstances, the way we're perceiving things, that is maintaining that. And meditation is a way of really breaking that pattern right from the morning time and then continuing that way.
Absolutely. And that's the only way to do it at this point. Remember, again, it comes to a different topic, but I'm just going to tell you that life is all in the present moment.
Right.
Our thoughts or the mind is the problem for suffering, because we are always in the past or in the future, because we are never in the present. And that's what it helps us to. Come back to the present.
Sure.
And that's another way of meditation. They call it as mindfulness. It's become a huge thing nowadays, is to remember to be in the present. Even if your thoughts go away in the future, bring it back to the present. Even if you're doing the most mundane activity, but do it in the present, because there is no distress in the present moment if your mind is not in the future.
Okay, well, thank you, Dr. Chetna. There's a lot more to say about all this, but we'll stop this recording here. Thank you very much.